The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It's nearly 18 months since the war in Gaza began, unleashing a litany of violence across the Middle East. Now, a statement issued by 28 countries, including Ireland and the UK, begins, "The war in Gaza must end now." And it then warns, "The suffering of civilians in Gaza has reached new depths. The Israeli government's aid delivery model is dangerous, fuels instability and deprives Gazans of human dignity. We condemn the drip feeding of aid and the inhumane killing of civilians, including children, seeking to meet their most basic needs of water and food. It is horrifying that over 800 Palestinians have been killed while seeking aid." With more countries urging Israel and Hamas to reach a ceasefire, can it be done? Well, for more on this, I'm joined on the line by Gershon Baskin, hostage negotiator and the Middle East director for the International Communities Organization, which is a UK-based NGO. Gershon, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, every day the IDF seems to act with more and more impunity. We've seen the firing on people seeking food and water, including children. The numbers are quite horrifying. 800 people not in conflict, but simply seeking to meet their basic needs. And then the attack on the WHO headquarters in Gaza City yesterday. I mean, there does not seem to be any mercy on the part of Israel and the IDF.
No, you're absolutely right. Israel is fighting this war with no end in sight, no strategy to end the war. It has become a war for the political survival of Netanyahu and his governing coalition. It is not about achieving strategic aims anymore. It's about creating conditions in Gaza that have already made Gaza unlivable. The question that I have for you in your opening is, okay, 28 countries signed a letter. So what? What does it mean?
I agree.
50 countries will sign. Where's the threat here? Why does Israel have to take that letter seriously? We know that Netanyahu only takes one person in this world seriously, and that's Donald Trump. And to the best of my understanding, the United States did not sign that letter.
Indeed, it did not. And of course, there are countries who will be signing a letter who do business with Israel, who supply Israel with arms. So on the one hand, you condemn Israel for its behavior. On the other hand, you flog them weapons.
Yeah, flood weapons and allow tourists to come. Even settlers who live in occupied lands are allowed to enter into these European countries without any consideration that maybe they don't live in the state of Israel and they shouldn't be granted visa-free entry into Europe. Letters and statements are great coming out of the EU and other countries, but if they don't carry the weight of some kind of materialized threat, then what's its importance? It's just more words.
So, in other words, if the EU was to put its money where its letter goes, they would immediately say trade with Israel is off. Thank you.
Well, they would have to do something that would make the world take them, to make Israel take them seriously. Right now, that piece of paper just gets tossed in the trash basket, along with a lot of other declarations that have been made over the years. We know that this conflict has to end. We know that this war has to end. We know that the only solution is a two-state solution. We know that all those countries who signed the letter support the two-state solution. How many of them also recognize the state of Palestine? I mean, how long can you talk about a two-state solution and only recognize one of them? Where is there some action that's going to have meaning for the people who are living here, both Israelis and Palestinians, who need to have hope that this will be the last Israeli-Palestinian war? We can't keep doing this.
Now, Gershon, we hear about peace negotiations, whether they're in Qatar or wherever they might be.
They're not peace negotiations. They're for an end of war or ceasefire. That's a long distance to peace.
To peace. Okay. But we hear about these negotiations happening. And before Netanyahu headed off to the White House, he sent a delegation to those peace talks. But it appears that their instructions were not to make any deal. In fact, they had no power to agree to anything. They were there, it would appear, as window dressing to his trip to Washington. So,
no, I think on the contrary, they have clear instructions to negotiate a deal which is not an end to the war. They have clear instructions to negotiate a 60-day ceasefire, during which time Hamas will release half of the hostages that they're holding, half the living and half of the dead bodies that they're holding. There are 50 hostages left in Gaza, and there's no guarantee that that's an end of the war. Hamas is demanding that there be guarantees, that there be a path to ending the war. And my suggestion to everyone, including the Americans who were in charge of the negotiations, the Qataris and the Egyptians, that no agreement should be negotiated now that's acceptable except an end to the war. This war could end. I talked to Israeli military people, asked them, how much time does Israel need to withdraw completely from the Gaza Strip? People in the military told me a maximum of 2 weeks. That's what we should be heading toward, is an end to the war agreement that in 2 weeks Israel leaves Gaza, the war is over, and all the hostages come home, Palestinian prisoners would be released. But the missing link here is the failure of the Palestinian leadership to determine who's going to govern Gaza on the day after. Because Hamas is finished, and Hamas has admitted that they will not continue to govern Gaza. So there's two questions, the governance of Gaza, and what do you do with the armed militants who are left in Gaza after Israel withdraws? These are two big elements that have to be answered.
And on the program yesterday, we talked about the number of young people, men mostly, but some women, who have moved to support Hamas simply because of what Israel has done to them. I mean, that
Israel has been a recruiting sergeant for Hamas in Gaza.
All right.
Yeah, now, you can recruit people because Hamas will give them $100 or $200, a uniform and a gun, and people have nothing. There's no work. There's no place to live. People, if you ask people in Gaza today what their political hope is, they'll tell you, leave me alone for political hope. I need a bottle of water. I need a plate of food for my family. That's what's concerning the 2.2 million people in Gaza today.
Now, Gershon, will you outline the two positions and how close they might come to each other? I mean, the Israelis don't want to withdraw completely from Gaza. They want to maintain some sort of a military buffer zone, which could be quite large and include some significant cities in Gaza. And Hamas want them gone.
Right. Hamas apparently has agreed that Israel would withdraw to the place, to the deployment spots that they were holding when the ceasefire broke down last March, when Israel broke the ceasefire, actually. And Hamas has apparently agreed to a redeployment to those points for a 60-day period. But they expect at the end of 60 days that Israel will end the war and withdraw from Gaza entirely. There is a statement from the Americans that as long as negotiations continue in good faith beyond the 60 days, then the Americans would guarantee that the war would not renew. And that can be done. The Americans can tell Netanyahu to hold fire or to withdraw from Gaza. And we're actually waiting for Trump to tell Netanyahu, that's it, you're finished, the war is over. And that hasn't happened yet.
Now, the problem for the Hamas side, I suppose, is they hold hostages dead and alive. And once those are finally handed over, maybe in the course of that 60-day negotiation following the ceasefire, they have no cards to play anymore. And there's nothing to stop
Israel.
They
don't have any cards to play today either. Hamas is finished. Yeah. There's no political leadership of Hamas left in Gaza. The military leaders who are left in Gaza are second, third, fourth tiered leaders. You have platoon commanders who are the most senior military people of Hamas today. The Hamas leadership outside is scattered between Istanbul, Cairo, and Doha. And there's no unity amongst them. There are different debates going on in the future of Hamas. The armed resistance that Hamas calls it, or an armed struggle for the Palestinian people, is finished. There is no viable armed struggle. And you can argue that they have the right to use arms against an illegal occupation. And I'll say, okay, they have the legal right to do that, but they have no viable strategy that's going to liberate Palestine, free Palestine, give them independence and security and dignity through killing Israelis. That fight is over.
But what I'm really suggesting is that Israel, which will unilaterally break any deal if it so chooses, once the Palestinians have given Israel what it wants, which is the hostages, the remaining ones, alive or dead, then it is open to Israel to continue the occupation of Gaza and, in fact, to colonize the whole place.
It could be. You're definitely right. But my hope is that once this war is over and Netanyahu's coalition breaks up and we go to new elections, and then and while we don't have any real opposition in Israel or any peaceful opposition in Israel, once you call for new elections, the whole political field opens up and there can be new signs of new political leaders, new political parties and coalitions. We had, remember, 40 weeks of constant demonstrations to preserve Israel's liberal democracy before this war happened. And since the war's happened, we have demonstrations taking place all over the country now to end the war. And we're finally seeing in these demonstrations people calling out to end the killing in Gaza, of young Israelis holding pictures of dead Palestinian children from Gaza saying, no more. There's no justification for killing a child anywhere at any time. time. This conflict cannot justify the killing of innocent people.
Was it unprecedented for a number of reservists to speak out and say they could not continue with what they're being ordered to do in Gaza, that it just didn't sit?
It's not unprecedented. We saw that in the first war in Lebanon in 1982, and there's been a series of it. But it's really small. It's really on the margins of Israeli society. I think, though, that there's greater legitimacy today for people to stand up and say, no, I won't go back to Gaza. Reservists have been serving 300, 400 days already. They have no lives anymore. The army is exhausted. Israel's army is not made to fight a war that lasts 2 years long. And certainly we've lost too many of the hostages who have died or been killed by Hamas during their captivity. And Israel is a society which puts a great value on the principle, the ethos, that we don't leave anyone behind. And we have a government that has abandoned these hostages for way too long.
Now, your opening remarks were really about this is a war that is about Netanyahu's political survival. And you were also saying that, you know, it'll be up to Trump to say, look, Bibi, this is over. It's over. And that really means two things. The war is over and you are over politically.
Oh, for sure. And this is how Bibi probably convinced Trump not to push him when he made his visit to Washington a few weeks ago. We were all expecting for Trump to tell Netanyahu that the war is over. And we were expecting to see an agreement coming out of the negotiations in Doha. There would be an end of war agreement, but it didn't happen. And apparently the persuasion power of Netanyahu is just bewildering in his ability to convince Trump, because Trump keeps saying the war has to end. So if the war has to end, he knows he's the only person who can make it end, and he's not doing it.
Now, Gershon, I have to ask you, what was your reaction when you saw Netanyahu hand over the letter, a copy of the letter that he'd sent to the Nobel Committee about the Peace Prize?
Well, I think in history it'll go down as one of the biggest laughable moments of the last 100 years. And you have a person who's indicted or warranted for his arrest from the International Court of Justice proposing that Donald Trump receive the Nobel Peace Prize. And there are moments in history that you have just to look about and hit your head and say, I can't believe this is actually happening.
Yeah, I suppose peace in our time would probably be another moment when what was expected to happen never really have happened. But is there any glimmer of hope at all, Gershon, that we will get this peace in 2025?
Yeah, again, I don't want to talk about peace.
Okay.
Further down the road.
Let's war's end. War's end.
Yes. Yeah, I think that there is a majority of Israelis, more than 80% of Israelis want this war to end, want the hostages to come home, are willing to pay the price of releasing Palestinian prisoners who have murdered Israelis. And this is very hard for Israeli society to accept, but they're willing to do that in order to get the hostages home, to get the soldiers home. Every day we hear of soldiers being killed in Israel, and this is a big, big weight on the Israeli society. And the Israelis don't see the death and destruction that they're doing in Gaza. Unfortunately, that's part of our blind eyes. Also, our media is guilty of its complicity in not showing the reality of Gaza. But the Israeli society does care about its soldiers being killed, and we're seeing soldiers being killed every day in Gaza as well.
Gershon Baskin, hostage negotiator and Middle East director for the International Communities Organization, a UK-based NGO. Gershon, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Now,